at Luke 24. Luke 24, and I'm going to read verse 13 to 35. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he was going further. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?' They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, 'It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon.' Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread." Because, you know, what a week it had been in that city of Jerusalem. Think about that week. You know, if you had one of those blood pressure machines and you had them on the disciples, it would kind of go up, down, sideways, wouldn't it? Because they've had an amazing 3 weeks. You know, we looked at John and we looked in John, didn't we, about journeying to the cross and all that Jesus told them what was going to happen. Then they'd watched him be crucified. They'd seen body put in the tomb, and then there was obviously maybe a sense of, you know, okay, business as usual. What do we do now? Now what? Disciples are scattered around the place, huddled behind closed doors, not knowing what's going to happen. But two of them decided to leave town altogether, and this is the journey. Seven miles on this Emmaus road. Now, 7 miles, that's quite a way, isn't it? And there they were, talking with one another. And I love how the Bible says they were talking with each other about everything that had happened. Now, when you translate that, I like it even better, because it's homileo zustio. And it translates literally as talking and discussing, male bantering. How these men were chatting. They were bantering with each other. I mean, did you see how Peter denied ever knowing Jesus? Could you believe that crowd? Wasn't it amazing? We saw poor Mary. She must have been totally devastated. And one of them to the other, well, I guess it's been exciting 3 years. We've had a good few years. We've seen a few fish feed 5,000. We've watched a storm not be a storm. We've seen leprosy go. Yeah, in actual fact, it's been a good few years. But now what? Now what? That now what feeling. And you know that sort of feeling. Now what? After a big event, you know, you've spent all year planning a wedding, or you've spent all year planning a big birthday, or you've been to a concert and you've been so excited about getting there, or you get to go to a cup final and you just think, now what? There's that sense that sometimes your whole life has been absorbed with something major and you think, now what? Now, I reckon that's where those two were, the now what. And then Jesus appears, starts to walk with them, joins in. But don't you think that they would recognise him? You know, they spent the majority of the time recently with him. And the Bible says, but they were kept from recognising him. Kept. Now, it wasn't the sun was in their eyes, because it was the evening. Was God really meaning to keep them from recognising Jesus? Was he testing them? Was he just seeing how much they had really taken on board of these last few days, even the last few years? And we don't know. That verse stays like that. We don't know. And Luke leaves it, fairly vague. But then Jesus enters the conversation. And he's quite clever, Jesus, isn't he? You know, I like how he just joins these men bantering and with a very polite question. What are you discussing together as you walk along? You know, a very loaded question. If anybody was going to know what had been going on, then it was Jesus. But Jesus wanted to see, because he wanted to know. It's a daft question as well, because everybody knew what had been going on. But Cleopas sees to it that Jesus is kept in the news. And it's all a bit matter of fact with Cleopas. There's no personal conviction. There's this bit that says, but we had hoped. We had hoped. And it kind of sums up maybe their disillusionment, their disappointment. It sounds as if maybe they feel a bit let down. It's only the third day, but they seem to be quite despondent. We had hoped. We had hoped that life was going to change. We had hoped that he was going to redeem Israel. We had hoped. But. And you know, Jesus is standing there. And I thought again about this week, and I thought he really must have been saddened by that. But we had hoped. He had every right to get hold of them and shake them and tell them off, give them a lecture, say to them, how many times did I tell you that this is what was going to happen? But no, he doesn't. He doesn't at all. He just tells them that the cross and everything was all part of God's plan. So to a congregation of two, Jesus launches in to an amazing Old Testament exposition. He explains it all calmly, politely, again. But still they don't get it. They reckon they're just walking along with a fellow Passover pilgrim. Until that moment when he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks. Sounds familiar to us, but then suddenly their brain cells kick into understanding. They heard Jesus' voice. Those memories were returning, and the whole echo of the last Thursday in the upper room comes back to them. And you get this lovely verse. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And then you get this other part of the verse, and he disappeared from their sight. So it's a sort of moment, and then he disappears. This eyes opened. I love another bit for you. If you hear nothing else, learn this verse. Ophthalmos diagnigo epigosco. Right? It's not even Iranian, it's Latin or Greek or whatever. But it literally means, I love it, their eyes were completely opened. It wasn't just sort of a mere recognition, you know, sort of squinty eyes, but their eyes were opened. And you think about that, what a moment that must have been. You know, there was Jesus just revealing himself to them again. And they must have stood there or sat there in amazement. Did they feel remotely stupid that they hadn't recognized him? No. Did they feel bad that they had written Jesus off as a has-been? No. Did they feel cross that Jesus had suddenly gone? No. Because here was a spiritual moment, a profound spiritual moment. Their eyes were opened by Jesus. There's another interesting thing here about this Emmaus Road encounter, that only one of these followers is named. We read that about Cleopas, but the other one is no named disciple. Mr., Mrs., Moose, whatever disciple. We don't know the name. And I would like to suggest that that's so, bless you, so that we can put our name in there. Times, you know, when we do the Emmaus walk, which made me laugh this week as I thought about it again, because I thought you could get a really good chorus here or a new song, and you could doing the Lambeth Walk tune, you know, but we're doing the Emmaus walk. But there is us alongside. And so here is the personal application for us to this. Because there's times in our life when we walk around in fog, when we walk around similarly confused by God, disappointed with God, even sometimes cross with God. I had hoped, ... and we can fill in the blanks. It's foggy in our spiritual life, and sometimes we don't see where God is in it. But Jesus was right there in their fogginess. And Jesus is right with us in our fogginess, encouraging us. And maybe sometimes we too need that personal encounter. Notice how Jesus does this at the Emmaus Road. He comes up alongside them. He doesn't push himself onto them. He doesn't poke them and say, "Oi, listen up." He comes right where they are and comes alongside them. In his infinite courtesy, Jesus remembered the frailty of overstrained nerves and bewildered minds and came, not too suddenly or overwhelmingly upon them, but in a way he alone could do, revealed himself as the risen Christ. Reminded me again that we can so easily put Jesus into the past tense. And on Thursday, we took a look at this verse, which fits in very nicely. I didn't think at the time, but we looked at this verse and we said, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervour serving the Lord. It's sometimes so easy in our Christian lives to leave Jesus out and to make him a bit of a history experience. But we have to keep our spiritual fervour. These are different translations. Never flag in zeal, being aglow with the Spirit, serve the Lord. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. And a message one which I love. Don't burn out. Keep yourselves fueled and aflame. You see, we have testimonies of things that Jesus has done. But what about the present? Sometimes we don't realise that we have now testimonies. Those God encounters of yesterday, last week, last month. And you know, and if I was to bring a mic down to you now and say to you, tell me about your encounters with God, the first thing that you would do would put your head down like this and go, uh-oh, what's she on now? I know that. Because you'd say, well, I don't really have a recent testimony of God. You know, because I think a testimony of God, you say, is, oh, they have to be all singing, all dancing. They have to be all about how, you know, I used to be this, but now I'm this. And I was on drugs, but now I'm not. But that's not what a testimony is always about. There is a now testimony of what God is doing. Those things that God has reminded you of or spoken to you about when you've been doing the ironing, or when you have been doing the washing up, or when you've been walking the dog. You know, things that God reenacts in our lives. That is a now testimony. Well, we are now testimony. And I just threw this idea in this morning when I was thinking about it again. You know, Facebook statuses. You know, you read them and you think, great, they're great. Wouldn't it be wonderful if every now and again, those of us that are on Facebook or Twitter or whatever it's called now, we threw something in that was Jesus-centred. Not every time, because then people get fed up of it. There's one person here I'm looking at that does it regularly, and it's wonderful. Sorry, am I pointing to somebody particularly? Yeah. Just to share that little bit of God moment with the people on your Facebook page. Yeah, throw it in there. I think it would do something special. So, Mr. Cleopas and the no-name disciple encounter Jesus. They have a now testimony at the table. And they must have turned to each other and said, now what? Here's another now what moment. Verse 33 tells us, they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. Isn't the Bible wonderful? They've just done 7 miles, and now they're doing another seven back. And if you remember, they gave Jesus the argument that he had to stay because it was getting dark and have dinner with them. But now they're going, oh, it's all right, we can go back 7 miles. Madness. Why? For no other reason than that Jesus had opened their eyes and they needed to share that experience. They needed to get back to Jerusalem and say, guess what? This is what has happened to me. And you know, our encounters with Jesus, however small they are need to be shared. Your now moments, when Jesus opens your eyes yet again and reminds you of something.